This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 200, 316 of What Did You Watch This Week. My name is Mike.
Dude, 200? What?
I know. I corrected it.
and my name is John.
So, we didn't record last week because of my work schedule.
In fairness, we kind of gave everybody a heads up that may happen.
Yes. Yep. And then this week, we didn't record. Well, this week we're recording early because tomorrow morning, bright and early, I'm hitting the road for Canada.
Which means we might not be recording next week because I have a feeling you're not going to watch much in Canada.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I guess I'll know come the end of the week what I got watched and what I didn't get watched. But honestly, though, there's not a lot. Like, we finished up Stranger Things, finished up Star Trek.
Finished up The Boys.
Finished up The Boys was this week. I can't remember if I watched Ms. Marvel this week or not, but I know there's only 6 episodes there, correct?
Yes, and this week's was episode 5.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, like, there's not a ton to chat about, quite frankly, next week, I don't think, anyways, other than what we recreationally watched.
Right. Like, I know that I meant to but did not watch Westworld this week, so I have not seen any of this season yet. But
you've not watched any of this season?
That is an affirmative.
I've only watched the first episode, and I'll just say I got fooled because when the advertisement came on HBO Max about Westworld season 4, and so I clicked on it, and it started playing an episode. And I'm watching the episode, and I'm just like, this looks very familiar. This looks really odd. And at first I thought they were like starting this episode by playing like an homage to the first ever episode, or we were getting a flashback or whatever it was. And after like a few minutes, I hit pause and it said season 1, episode 1. And I was like, what the fuck? It said season 4. So then I go down and season 4 is there. So I watched season 4, episode 1. And that's all I've watched so far. And it's the concept is still there. I get it when it comes to, you know, the AI with the characters, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But it's so far removed from what the first season was, to what the second season, to the third, and now the fourth.
Yeah.
It's just so far from removed from how it started and what it started out as that I kind of just missed the first season's format, if you will.
Yeah, I found myself, like, the first season, I was glued to the TV. I was super excited for the second season. Then when it came out, I was like, okay, all right. You know, it kind of, like, wound down as we went through. Yeah. And then the third season was such a clusterfuck that I was just like, yeah. I don't know. So when this one came out, I'm really not, like, excited. I'm not like, yeah, fucking Westworld's back. It's more like, oh, all right. Well, I guess I'll watch that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I kind of feel about it. So to say this, it wasn't bad per se. It's just so far removed.
Mm.
And by the way, I completely forgot that Maeve switched bodies last season.
Oh, yeah.
So that threw me off tremendously in this first episode.
yeah, I had forgotten that as well.
Yeah, but anyhow, all in all, it's... I didn't dislike it. I enjoyed it, but it's not like I'm making it a high priority.
Gotcha. I will say that the our Doctor Who watch / my rewatch is going well. We got The 11th Hour, The Beast Below, and Victory of the Daleks. Oh, all very solid episodes.
Very solid episodes.
I discovered something this evening. So I have, trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. So I have a Samsung TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watch it. I don't have cable anymore. I just have the apps. But every time we'd stop, like, Netflix or something like that, you know, we'd stop playing the PlayStation, it would always pop up to Heartland. It was always Samsung TV, and it was always Heartland. I know you know what Heartland is because your wife likes horses. So,
yep.
It was always on there, and we kind of got joking about it, and we kind of made fun of it. And like at one point, I saw Julia watching it, and I was like, "Nope, this isn't happening. You're not getting hooked on Heartland." And she's like, "But it's horses." So, you know, it was always just kind of a loving joke. And so tonight, I was like, "Well, let's figure this out." And it turns out that Samsung TV is a thing, and it has dozens, if not thousands, of free channels, free movies, and stuff like that. So I'm going through, and to say that they like. I saw that they had music channels, and they were like, look, here's 90s pop music, you know, and it was...
It's like digital radio, but it's I can't think of what it was called. Digital Music Express or some shit like that?
Kind of, except for these were actual music videos. Like, they had Garbage on there, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Garbage. And it's in the old 4:3 format.
Oh, you know, Garbage is playing State Theater here coming up, I think it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm flipping through and I'm seeing all these different channels and, you know, it's like comedy and it's just different stand-up comedians. Right now we've got one on there that's the pet channel and it's just episode after episode of kitten videos. But there's a channel on there that the entire channel is nothing but back-to-back, nonstop, repeating forever episodes of classic Doctor Who. So from the first Doctor all the way through to the eighth Doctor, nothing
in order or just randomized?
In order.
Just really? And it's free? Episodes.
It's free. It's Samsung TV.
With commercials, I'm assuming.
Yes, but they're very minor commercials. You know, it'll be like, we'll be right back. And then they go for like one ad from Liberty Mutual and then they come right back to the show. It was pretty impressive. I can't wait to see what else is on there. Like, there's just all different kinds of... There's one channel that's nothing but TED Talks. Like, it's just
TED Talks. It reminds me of, like Pluto TV.
I think Pluto TV is on there.
Well, Pluto is a channel in itself that is very similar, where it has itself hundreds of channels of different things, of different themes or whatever, and it's commercial-driven. And my Roku TV, actually, there's a setting on it where you can tell it to put – and it'll put like – so I go to antenna, and that's how I get all my antenna channels, right?
Yeah.
It's like antenna is an app on the player. And then because I have an antenna hooked up to it, it will search for channels. But also on the antenna section, you can put free streaming TV. So it will load up – Pluto, all those ones automatically. So when you're just flipping through the channels, it puts it in your channel guide and you just run through it that way.
Nice.
There's hundreds of channels, so I have it shut off because that's annoying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, I started flipping through this and I'm like, that's cool. But basically for this TV, the way that it works is, you know, like I said, Heartland was always on there. So we pick a channel. And then every time, like, we exit out of Amazon or if we turn off the PlayStation or whatever, that channel will be playing. So it's kind of fun. But at the same time, yeah, with over 1,000 different channels listed on there, there's a lot to go through.
Yeah, like Pluto has like TNA Wrestling, and which is kind of neat. But yeah, I get what you're saying. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my tie into Doctor Who, because it's, you know, an entire channel just of classic Doctor Who.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because some of those channels will have, like you said, it's an entire channel of classic Doctor Who, but like it's almost like it's someone's dad's VHS recorded TV copy.
Yeah, that's what the garbage video looked like.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like they sourced it from the original negative or anything. So I have run into that on some of those free channels.
Yep. I could see that.
Yep. That's pretty cool. I like that.
So that being said, like you said, a number of shows wrapped up this week. We've also got to talk about the first three episodes of the Umbrella Academy.
Yep.
And an episode of the Orville.
Yeah, so you only watched The Tale of Two Topas, correct?
Correct.
That is all I watched as well.
So I have to ask, you sent me a message and you said that you were struggling to find the motivation to watch The Orville. Was that while you were watching it, or was that before you sat down to watch it?
That was before I sat down to watch it. Like, and I was going to bring it up today.
Did it continue to be a struggle?
No, I actually enjoyed this episode.
Okay.
I watched it with my wife in the room, and she found the subject matter to be kind of funny, but also on point.
Yes, absolutely.
So here's I don't have any issues with the episode by any means, but like, here's what I mean by when the Orville came out, and I know I've said this before, but when the Orville was first introduced to us and the show first premiered, if you will, you know, the format of it was that of the old Star Trek series and Star Trek The Next Generation, which we desperately had been missing ever since, you know, Star Trek went away. Even Enterprise, and I was never a Voyager watcher, but I did watch Deep Space Nine, which was a different format, but it was still similar in context. So not having Star Trek for so many years, when the Orville came out, I was like, oh my God, this is the Star Trek we've been missing. And then Star Trek Discovery came out. I was like, oh my God, this is not the Star Trek we've been missing. So there was a struggle with Star Trek Discovery, and the Orville was like, oh, this is nostalgia. Well, then we got Strange New Worlds. And Strange New Worlds is so beyond phenomenal and is the Star Trek that we've been missing, in my opinion, that the Orville is just now almost – like, I don't know if it's because both shows came back at the same time and it's too much all at once, or the fact that I'm now really like not having issues with the Orville's heavy, a very special episode style format and storylines.
Yeah.
That it's just too much for me. I don't know, but they definitely have addressed a tremendous number of hot button topics in the Orville this season.
So, let me add on to that and see if this makes sense to you. See if this fleshes that out a little bit. So Strange New Worlds, and we'll definitely get into this shortly. One of the things that people were worried about when Strange New Worlds came out is that this is the prequel to classic Star Trek. So they kind of like with the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, they kind of have to fit it into what's coming down the road. So people were worried that they were going to do what they did with Obi-Wan Kenobi and kind of shoehorn a lot of stuff in. The Orville, I don't know if it's because they switched over to Hulu and it's called New Frontiers. So they're kind of, it seems like a soft reboot. But the thing that I've seen this season, not only are they doing the hot button issues, but the thing that's really kind of annoyed me is that we're seeing a lot of reruns. We're going back to old storylines and rehashing them now, either updated or just beating it over the head again. You know, A Tale of Two Topas, we already had the episode where Topa was born a girl, and they had the whole big court case and they met the female Mocklin, and we got the whole, you know, traumatic, everybody taking different sides and everybody fighting, and you know, it was big and traumatic. Now we're doing the exact same thing, except for Topa's old enough to make the decision on her own. But it's the same kind of stuff, just the same way that, you know, that whole being on a planet that's all illusions. We were meeting those people that, you know, went through 50,000 years of evolution in like a year or something. So it's a lot of rehash of the Krill homeworld. We had, you know, Ed's a father because of the old storyline that they had where he and that Krill woman were stuck together for a while. So that's the thing that gets me, is that they're just going back and continuing and rehashing. We haven't really gotten any new unique stories.
Yeah, we really haven't gotten any unique stories, have we?
So again, I don't know if it's because they switched over to Hulu and so they're trying to like bring everybody on board, like people who didn't watch the first two seasons, or if it's because they're really trying to do what Discovery did and tie everything in constantly.
The other thing is every episode is so long.
It does feel extra long, doesn't it?
And they are. They're extended episodes compared to the 45 to 50 minutes that they were previously. And it's almost like they're so long and they don't need to be. Like Stranger Things episodes in season 4 were very long.
That is the understatement of the year, my friend.
But it didn't bother me. Like I didn't, and maybe you did, but I didn't feel at any time while watching an episode like, boy, they're dragging this out, or boy, they could have wrapped this up, or you know what I mean? Like I didn't feel that way watching any episodes of Stranger Things season 4. But watching the Orville, I feel like, holy cow, like this is they could have wrapped this up already, I think.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
But that being said, that was great English.
That was awesome.
Tale of Two Topas was definitely all about not I don't want to say transgender because it really isn't transgender, but it's all about sexual identification and how you feel as a person, how you want to be identified as. And for those that maybe did watch the earlier episodes, what race is Topa?
Mauchlin.
Mauchlins are males. If they're born a female, then when they're younger, they force them to have a sex change to a male because males are superior, females are inferior. And males also, like Mauchlin males, can reproduce together. And typically, all relationships are all male and male relationships. They don't need women. And there are no Mauchlin women per se. And yes, we did meet one who was hidden in the mountains with her parents. And she became a very strong, elderly Mauchlin, but again, she wasn't really accepted. And Topa was born woman, female, and, you know, was forced to become male. And now Topa's having, the whole episode is about Topa having a sexual identity crisis, if you will, where he initially, then she, by the end of the episode, feels there's something wrong, there's something missing, et cetera, et cetera. And they spend like 75 minutes on this subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think of it overall?
Overall, I thought that it was it's interesting. I had watched the first three episodes there of Umbrella Academy, and the second and third one really dealt with, you know, Ellen / Elliot Page and the same kind of thing going on. So to see it handled differently on two different shows was very interesting.
I mean, tremendously different.
Yes. It was a choice versus somebody who had it thrust on them when they were young.
Correct. Yeah.
But I thought that, yes, it was very long. I felt the same kind of like cringy anxiety that I used to feel in particularly Michael Scott heavy episodes of The Office, you know, where you actually feel embarrassed or, you know, like anxious for the character on screen. When I saw the opening credits, by the way, that said directed by Seth MacFarlane, I was like, oh, we're not going to see him much this episode. And that was true. Really focused on Kelly and her morality and her, you know, problems with what was going on.
But it also really highlighted the because they didn't understand it or believe in it, they're not accepting of what this other race's virtues are. Because it seems backwards to them. So that means they must be wrong and ignorant, and they need to do it the way we do it.
Exactly. And that right there is part of the problem with it. You know, you're supposed to rally and be excited because the whole ship was like, yeah, we stand behind you. And absolutely, you know, stand behind this person if that's what they feel like. You know, Topa said, I don't feel right. I've always felt wrong. I know why now. I want to change. Absolutely. Great. I stand behind you as well. But the fact that, you know, Commander Grayson was like, well, you do things differently than we do. And it was the same thing in the courtroom case. You do things differently than we do. So, you know, your whole religion, your whole society, your whole planetary structure, everything is built on these ideals. But we don't agree. So you must be wrong. That's a very American mindset. And it's surprising given how, you know, Seth MacFarlane does so much anti-democracy, anti-American type stuff.
Well, and let's be honest, too. I mean, this also is timely. Like, I know when they filmed this episode, they had no way of knowing that Roe versus Wade was going to get overturned.
Right.
And it's a very timely also argument, like, well, you know, if I lived here, I could do it, but I live over here and I can't do it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, even within our own country, people don't have the same rights in every state.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, within the Federation, people don't have the same rights from every planet, from every, you know, race, if you will, every location, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. It's very crazy that way. I mean, you and I have seen that even at the, you know, state level for laws, you know, you know, we've talked about marijuana before and how in Maine and several other states, it's legal, but federally it's illegal. And in, you know, you drive over into this state and it's illegal. So you could actually get pulled over and jailed for it. Whereas then you cross over into a different state and it's legal again.
Right. Exactly. I mean, is it Washington State or Colorado? I think it's Colorado where psychedelic mushrooms are now legal for medicinal purposes.
Yep.
You know?
So it makes it hard to have a federation or a united country when different parts of it, depending on where you're standing, you could get in trouble for something or you could have the right to choose whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, you could have bodily autonomy or you could be under the thumb of somebody who has absolutely no right to be talking to you about what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this episode really dove in heavily on was, you know, Topa was born a woman, was forced to become male, internally fought with that, talked to Isaac about what it was like to kill yourself. How did it feel to be dead? You know, not happy with oneself and wanting to change. And then, you know, being told, oh, you were born female, made to be male. Now you want to become female again. And you're one of your two dads is not accepting of it. I mean, all kinds of a very special episode type storylines going on in it, you know?
I'm really surprised that they didn't go deeper. Like when Topa asked Isaac that about, you know, what was it like when you killed yourself? What was it like to be free? You know, asking these questions that even when he went to, you know, when Isaac went to Commander Grayson, he was like, hey, you know, she said these things. They didn't bring that up much. Like she said, this child's in danger. This child's, you know, really scared and hurting.
I kept waiting for her to tell her other dad. I can't think of his name. The one that left at the end of the episode.
Clyde.
Like, yeah, thank you. Like your son is talking about killing himself because he's so unhappy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that was shot. Like that never came up for some reason.
Like that should have been an immediate intervention in general. Like
maybe because the first episode dealt with suicide so much, they didn't want to dive back down that.
Maybe, but you and I have talked before about the Orville and how, you know, this is supposed to be taking place in the future, and a lot of it is futuristic, but there's some stuff that we do nowadays that is even more advanced than that. Like, for instance, if somebody of Topa's age said, I'm questioning killing myself, like, there would be interventions immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there would be medical interventions, there would be psychiatric interventions, you know, there would be concern for the safety and well-being of this child.
Yeah.
And that didn't seem to be the case. That kind of, like you said, you know, the first episode dealt with suicide, so maybe they didn't want to go back to it, but I don't know.
Well, in the end, like, I mean, I'm not upset I watched the episode by any means.
No, it was a good episode.
It might be a little bit easier with Stranger Worlds being done, if you will, to finish out the Orville. I mean, we have 5 more episodes than I'm aware of.
I will say I was very happy to see Clyden go because Clyden, like, I understand we talked earlier about how this is their belief, this is their society, all that. I get it. But Clyden was so close-minded throughout the entire series. He was so brash. He was so over the top, yelling, screaming. Everything was my way or the highway kind of thing. And he wasn't even an officer on the ship. He's a civilian. So I was glad to see him finally take off. Bordas is going to be better off without him, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if he'll get come back in one of these next episodes, or because they did address, you know, like if you do this, I'll leave you and I won't even give you the dignity of the sword. Because remember right. when the Mocklands declared divorce, they stabbed the other one in the chest and killed them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they signify they want a divorce.
I do appreciate the fact that through all these trials and tribulations that they're doing, they keep the constant threat of war with the Kalons. You know, front and center. And that's why the Admiralty was like, no, you can't do this because we can't afford to lose an ally in Mokulus. You know, we have to have them in order to fight against the Kalons.
And the Mocklands, once they do, when Isaac, the Kalon, does the sex change, Mocklands are like, you know what? You're right. That's not right. You went against what we said, but we're going to stick with you because this just makes us want to kill the Kalons even more.
Exactly. Fuck that, Kalon.
Yeah. So, anyhow, let's see. Ms. Marvel. I'm trying to remember if I watched this week's episode or not. The last one I remember is the one that was in the past.
Yeah, that was this one. Because episode 4, which you didn't watch last time we talked, and I told you it was really good, was the one where at the end she got dumped into the past.
Yep, I did watch that. I did enjoy it.
And then this episode was the one where we got to meet her great grandmother and her great grandfather and see her grandmother as a young child.
Okay. And then the next episode, which airs in 3 days, is the last episode, which is crazy that it's already the final episode.
I know. This whole 6-episode thing, I can appreciate it for, you know, I don't have to spend a lot of time investing, but at the same time, when the story's good, I want more.
Yeah. Well, this story has been hit and miss with me. Well, I guess I say it's been hit or miss with me. I enjoyed the first episode. The second episode, I was just like, nope. The third episode, I was like, but it was better than the second one. But the fourth I did enjoy. And then the fifth, I also enjoyed the story there. So that hasn't been consistently good for me.
Right, right. For me, it's been just fucking treat the whole way through. It feels a bit rushed, unfortunately, and I think that's because they've got 6 episodes and they're trying to tell the whole thing. The amount of effort that they're putting into telling a generational story is astounding. Like, I'm thinking back on some of these other ones, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, like you're not getting family as much. And in this case, we're looking at 4 generations of family. And the scene at, I'm jumping ahead, the scene at the end of this episode with mom, grandma, and Kamala all like hugging and basically saying, you know, I held you too tight. I didn't hold you tight enough. And all of them saying, you know, we're going to do the best for each other is just fucking great. Like, you've got Peter Parker with great power comes great responsibility. And, you know, with it takes like 4 or 5 movies before we finally get to see that Howard Stark was a dickbag to Tony. But in this case, like, the whole heart and soul of this show is the family and the familial ties and heritage. So I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, yes, you're right. This show definitely focuses more on like the actual family, not your chosen family, or you know what I mean, or the family mm-hmm. that is of the Avengers or the Guardians of the Galaxy. But so, yeah, you're right. This really is the first one that's kind of given us a deep dive into that.
What do you think of her as a hero so far?
Well, for sure, she's young. She's what we call green in the wrestling business, and she's still learning her way and finding her feet. So I like the morality that they're building behind her, if you get what I'm saying there.
like that she's trying to be a hero, but the community isn't always looking at her that way?
Well, yeah, like, she's creating her own moral values that she goes by. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, she's trying to adhere to her own sense of worth or self, or, you know, what she, her own sense of right and wrong. And it's not skewed or twisted. She is genuinely just trying to help, trying to do better, trying to help people that need help. But like any young superhero, if you will, or any person really learning how to do their job, quote unquote, the first time, sometimes no matter how hard you try, you just can't help but screw up every time.
Right. And it's a good point you make, because, you know, she started off idolizing Captain Marvel and trying to model herself after Captain Marvel everywhere. And she's quickly, like you said, having to come up with her own morals, her own guiding principles, her own, you know, how I'm going to do things, instead of just saying, I'm going to be just like blank.
Right. Right. She's got to create her own sense of self, if you will. And again, you, whenever you're doing something new, you're not going to do it exactly the right way or the 100th time, but her intent is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she messes things up.
So. Yes. Yep. I'm not sure what's going on with Kamran. I know in the comics, Kamran was an inhuman like her. They grew up as friends and, you know, they each had their own powers. I don't know if his... Okay, so his mom there, did she, when she sacrificed herself, did she really sacrifice herself to give the power to him? Or did she do something more sinister and like she's hitching a ride in him? Because they come from a dimension that's all about light.
Well, so is she, I don't know.
Like a light spirit now or something?
So what they want you to believe is that she, you know, gave her powers to her son before killing herself to close this portal, if you will, the veil, as they called it, I think.
Not buying it.
Right. And I'm not buying it either. Well, it's just like when you first met them and they're like, we're here to help and protect you. Red flags, red flags, red flags.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, Kamala's mom finds out about the her powers.
Mm-hmm. And I like how Grandma's just like, I was telling you for years that we were magical. You didn't listen to me.
Yeah. But I like how Mom found out about the powers, and she was, I'm not going to say immediately accepting, but she was like, oh, okay, cool. So you're the light girl back home that everyone hates or is angry at. She's like, yeah. So
I'm wondering if they're going to tell Dad and brother as well, or if Mom is going to be her secret keeper type.
Well, on the other side of the thing, we know that Bruno definitely is in love with Kamala. No doubt about it. Yeah. But she isn't showing interest in him. So he's going to go to school across the country so he can, which I think, to protect himself. Cameron shows up, or Cameron, well, I don't know how you pronounce it, but Cameron shows up at Bruno's place because he needs help, and hopefully Bruno will help him. And that's when the DODC shows up, and he accidentally, like, you know, blows up the store underneath Bruno's apartment, trying to stop the drone. So it'll be interesting to see, like, cause we didn't see the building collapse. We don't know if they were injured or what happened with it, but, they got a lot to wrap up in the last episode.
They do. We still haven't gotten back to her telling her friend there about what's really going on. You know, she discovered it, but then it was like, oh, I got to go. And she hasn't been back there yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's very true.
You know,
true
her
as
friend
well.
Keeps goes, you know, ignoring her on the phone. Yeah, they've got a lot to wrap up and, you know, basically setting the stage for the Marvels.
Yep.
I'll tell you this, too, on a bit of a downer note. I don't know if you did this, but okay, so remember when Watchmen first came out? Mm-hmm. And we got that opening scene of the Tulsa massacre.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, they made that up for the show, and then looked it up and went, oh, no, that really fucking happened. And apparently multiple people around the country were like, oh, this is made up, and then went, oh my god, they never taught us this in school.
Well, it was like what's that show we watched on HBO the old author who wrote, made up the Chululu and everything like that.
Oh, yeah. God, I know which one you're talking about. The one that got canceled and it shouldn't have.
Yes.
It was,
yes.
It was County, something County.
Yes. Yes. You know, the black family and everything, and everything that we saw that was happening in the 50s and 60s in the show happened in real life as well. And they somehow tied it into the
Sundown County. Remember?
Yes,
we're like,
exactly.
Oh, that didn't happen. Oh my God, that really fucking happened.
Yeah. Or the funeral of the little boy that looked at a white lady allegedly. And so he got dragged and lynched and, you know, mutilated and left in the water and bloated. And his mother, like, forced them to have an open casket so we could see what they did to her boy and everything.
Yeah.
Like, that was real. And that was it was the race riot or whatever in St. Louis or massacre, or whatever it was. There was so much, it's not Harlow County, but you know what I'm talking about. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was all real. And so with this, I looked it up as well.
The partition.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Like, at the end of episode 4, we looked that up because they kept talking about it. And we're like, let's learn about this. And Julia's reading me stuff. And we're just like, are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. And then when this episode began and we got like the newsreel talking about partition and things happening, I was like, this is Disney. There is no way that they're going to give us the full depth and breadth of this.
Right.
No. Honestly, anybody who's watching the show, if you're curious, it's heart-wrenching. You should look it up. You should educate yourself. But holy fuck. There was some fucked up shit happening there. And that was not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know,
1947.
This was right after World War II where Britain was like, we can't control India anymore. So we're just pulling out. And they lost, what, like 2 people? And they pulled out and left them to their own devices. And between the Indians and the Muslims, it became a fucking war zone.
Yeah, like up to 2 million people died. And like somewhere between 10 to 20 million people got displaced because of it.
And the deaths weren't just like, oh, you got shot. Like there were roving bands going around burning people alive. Women were having their genitalia and their breasts cut off. It was insane. People were lynched, hung up with their guts hanging out of them. And again, not that long ago. This wasn't even 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of things that, the way things happen.
Yeah. So if nothing else, these shows are showing me what I didn't learn in school, and it's crazy as fuck.
All right.
Lovecraft County.
A little bit. Lovecraft County. Yes. H.P. Lovecraft. Yes. That's
you said right Cthulhu there. And I was like, H.P. Yep.
Yeah. I'm watching Dark Wind still. I didn't watch the most recent episode because I didn't have time, but it's definitely a show I'm going to finish. I'm really enjoying it.
That's 6 episodes, right?
Yeah, I would give it a recommend. Yep. Yeah, I have 3. I have 2 episodes left to watch. So.
Nice. And is it self-contained, or are they talking about another season?
I haven't heard anything yet, but it is an entire book series, so there's definitely lots of source material to use.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, it was renewed for a 6 episode season 2.
Oh, okay.
Next year. Yep.
All right.
So, I still give it a sell.
Okay.
Let's see what else we have to talk about. We got the wife and I, we've been watching Undercover Boss on Paramount app. They had a new season a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We enjoy it. That's about it. You either like it or you don't. It's kind of good.
By my count, the 3 things we still have to talk about are The Boys, Umbrella Academy, and Strange New Worlds.
All right. And Stranger Things.
Oh, and Stranger Things. Yes.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. So, Umbrella Academy. Lot to unpack here with the 3 episodes we had to watch, so we don't have to deep dive them all, but
right. The world's about to end again.
Yeah, it picked up where the episode three left off, season three left off, and and we don't initially know the world's about to end again.
Right.
Because they go back to the house where their dad is, and they find the Sparrow Academy instead, and it's except for Ben, who's now two, it's all different kids.
So one thing real quick, because you're absolutely right. The first episode started with the introduction, and I immediately picked up on it because season one, episode one, talked about the background, and it said on October 1st, 1982, I think it was, 42 women around the world gave birth simultaneously. None of them had been pregnant prior to this. They all gave birth, and you know, Reginald Hargraves went out there and snarfed up seven of the kids, you know, to get his hands on them. This one, we get the same introduction, except it says 16 kids were born simultaneously instead of 42. Which is interesting because then as we get into the episodes, they talk about how their mothers were killed or died mysteriously.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was one of the first things. Like, I paused it and I was like, wait a minute. They just said 16. There's supposed to be like 42 of them. Yeah. So we get the
Sparrow Academy squaring off the Umbrella Academy. They're talking to Dad. Dad's like, I don't know who these people are. I saw them in 1963 and this and that. And the truth is, Dad knows exactly who they are. He just decided after meeting them in 63 that he didn't like any of them. He thought they were all basically trash. So except for Ben, who he did not meet in 63, he went and recruited different people this time. And he made sure not to recruit those people. That's why Ben's a rerun, if you will.
Smart move, too.
Well, yeah, except so at first we just think, oh, OK, well, you know, we're just going to live and peacefully and you guys do your thing and there'll be tension between us and this and that. But we essentially discover that the versions of themselves in that world, not only were they not recruited for the Umbrella Academy, but they all died. Or no, their mothers died before they were born. Could be born, I think it was.
Yes.
6 months before they were supposed to be born, their mothers died mysteriously. So that's a topic that they have to explore still. So because of that, they should not be there in that timeline. So there's this anomaly thing that we've seen since the first episode down in the basement of the Sparrow Academy, like this ball of whatever it is.
That the android mom keeps calling God.
Yes, and it pulses out. And when it does, it goes out a distance. And it wipes out not everything organic, but like in the first pulse, it kills like the hotel's little dog, the hotel owner's dog. And then each time it pulses out, it gets further and further and further. And it kills. Sometimes it kills people, kills animals like cows or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, no matter what, it's all whatever. It's organic matter that it's destroying or eating or whatever it is that it's doing.
Yep.
And so that's a threat. That's a big old threat. So of course we got a great dance scene. I mean, dance scene fight. We got a great fight scene in the first episode, but before that, we got a dance scene or before we got the dance scene. And please you go ahead with it because you were putting this over Footloose. Big time. And I went and watched it and I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, this is pretty awesome. Yeah. Go ahead. Break it down. Did I lose you?
No, sorry. My mute button is weird. Like I don't I have a mute button, but I can't see it. It's on the side of my head. So sometimes I'll hit it and I'm not sure if I'm muted or not. This was like they square off, you know, this seven versus this seven. And of course, in this reality, Reginald has still numbered them according to their usefulness. You know, number one is his most useful, et cetera. And, so they're like, yeah, we're going to have a fight. And one of them, number five on the other team on the Sparrow Academy, she spits on Diego. And apparently her spit is hallucinogenic in property. So he hallucinates an entire dance off to Footloose, and not just like half the song, the entire song, full on dance number, both schools dancing alongside each other, performing the moves. I mean, it was just phenomenal. It was great. Everyone was happy and laughing. And then the song ends, the illusion ends, and he realizes, no, we're actually really fighting. And then we got an awesome combat scene. So it was just one right after the other. Bam. Great dance number, great song, and then great fight scene. It was just, it was so much fun, and it was exactly what you need from the Umbrella Academy. Some of the best scenes that we've ever had are musically set fight scenes, like the one that was in season one when he's running through the donut shop when Five is taking the guys out to Istanbul.
Oh, that was awesome. I absolutely love that entire scene.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I love that. So, yeah, this one was right up there with me. I thought it was tremendous. And then to watch them fight against each other, you know, we know who our people are. And then over on the other side, you've got, like I said, number one is just super physically fit, athletic. Him and Luther go toe-to-toe, but this guy's a lot faster than Luther. You've got one who, well, you've got Ben, who's now the number two, and he has his tendrils that come out of him and whip around and stuff. Number three is fucking phenomenal. I love her. She's blind, but she can release crows out of her body and see through the eyes of the crows and
that's creepy.
Rip people apart. Still don't know what's up with Christopher. Christopher is a box, a floating box that makes noise. And they yeah. seem to be able to understand him, but he can like electrocute people and zap them. And you've got number five who has the hallucinogenic spit, and she's pretty athletic. And you've got one who can reverse gravity. And then you've got the blob guy who, after three episodes, I wasn't quite sure. Like, his power seems to only work sometimes, and it depends. Like, sometimes people would punch him in the face and their face would get wrecked from it. It was like they punched themselves in the face.
I feel like it's only when they hit him in the face, because it seems like when they hit him in the body, it's not bothering them.
Well, that's what I thought too, and I said that out loud, and then Diego's son shot him with the knife and it cut his leg, and the kid's leg got cut open.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It did.
But sometimes the guy gets punched or kicked and he actually takes, you know, he's, So I don't know if he has to be focusing on it or is it just like on a timer, you know, video game style. It's like every 30 seconds he's protected from one hit. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. It was very inconsistent.
We've gotten some very good fights. Although I'm a little perturbed, like Lila's back, but she's kind of like a side character. She's doing her own thing. And well, dropped off a kid for Diego.
Her and Diego had a kid. It's been 12 years for her, but it's only been, you know, a short time for Diego. The travel, the time machine boxes, if you will, the giant briefcases that they use to do time travel with are not working. The one that...
which is very interesting.
Yeah, so that's very interesting.
And I'm wondering if that has to do with the paradox, because... You know,
I mean, it could be
like maybe the Bureau doesn't exist in this reality.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be. But I guess, I mean, we'll find out ultimately.
Right.
Yeah. Also here through episode three, we have. Yeah, so they discover that they were never born on this planet, so in this timeline. So, like, when Allison goes to see her husband and daughter, like, they don't exist, and they don't know who she – her husband doesn't know who she is. Her daughter was never born. You know, a lot of things of that nature we're dealing with. We're dealing with the Sparrows and the Umbrellas fighting here and there in the episode. And then we have the big episode where, like, the Sparrows, number one, got sucked into that vortex thing and killed.
Yes.
Then we're in episode three. Episode three is building to this big standoff, if you will. Let's go back a little bit before we keep going. in the first episode, Vanya is still Vanya.
Mm-hmm.
She still has her white power, the white violin power, if you will.
Yep.
In the second episode, she shows up with a haircut. And they go, oh, nice haircut. And he's like, yeah, I'm Victor now. And they're all like, oh, okay. And that's pretty much the end of it. Like, that's kind of how they deal with it. And they all kind of have the thing where they're like, oh, hey, nice haircut. Yeah, it's Victor now. Oh, okay. Like, they all seem, all right, cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty much how they handled that.
Well, for the three guys, yes. For Diego, yes. Five, and Klaus. Because,
yeah,
that's exactly how they should have been. Just like, okay. Yep. And then Allison gets her moment.
Yes. But it's still all held. It's all very positive, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and I liked how they tied it into last season where he was basically like, you know, seeing Sissy and, you know, her talking about being trapped in a life that she didn't want. I realized that I've been that way my whole life. So perfect. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And so Victor and the Sparrows number one meet up. Because they want to do an exchange. They want the box. And that's when Victor goes downstairs to find the suitcase, and that's where he gets zapped away. Because Victor wants to get back to Harlan. Harlan and Sissy. So then we've seen this old man a few times wearing headphones.
Mm,
like, kind of doing his thing.
With weird ASMR-type music cassettes.
Yes, exactly. Trying to stay calm or whatever. We've seen this older man multiple times, okay? It was probably 60s, you know, maybe even early 70s. So anyhow, so with their number one missing, the Sparrows think that the Umbrellas took him. So they kidnap Luther, and Luther just kind of falls in love with a girl over there on the Sparrows, and they kind of like each other. You know, they decide they're going to do an exchange, the box for their number one, but they don't have the box and they don't have their number one. So they just show up at the Obsidian Hotel anyways. And we have this big standoff, and the Sparrows have decided they're going to fight the Umbrellas again. And they commence the fighting. And the Sparrows are kind of have the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old man kind of shows up and he like yells for people to get down. And he puts out this giant blast of energy and kills Alfonso and Jamie.
Yep.
Like, kills them dead. And then the other two members of the Sparrows run away. And Victor's like, oh, it's Harlan, you know, Sissy's son. And that's how the episode 3 ended. So, like, I do want to watch episode 4 quite severely, too. Actually.
You said you watched the first 3, and I'm like, God damn it, we have to stop now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really curious. I'm sure in episode 4, we're going to get a good deep dive into what happened with him and everything. So,
we get a couple other things going on. Turns out
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, that Hargraves is basically a prisoner. Like, the Sparrows kind of took over because the Sparrows are famous. Like, the Umbrella Academy was famous until Ben died, and then they all scattered, so they were still kids. The Sparrows, that never happened, so they're like on billboards and people around the city know them. Like, they're crime fighters,
and they treat Hargraves like he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, they drug him and they make him sign the checks and leave him locked in his room.
And they don't treat, like, the Umbrellas treated the android mom that Hargraves gave him as their mom. They call her mom. That's their mom. And in this, they're like, she's a fucking robot. Why are you calling her mom?
Yeah. We still haven't seen if Pogo's around.
Oh, that's true. I forgot all about him.
Yeah, because he was in the 60s, and he was a fucking badass. So I don't know if, like, he escaped or did the Sparrows do something to him. But, yeah, I want to know where Pogo is.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Five is working with Lila because apparently Lila is Siler/Peter Petrelli, except she just has to look at their power and she can duplicate it.
Yes.
I thought she had to experience it, but she just looks at some of the Sparrows. And she's like, oh, well, cool, now I can do that.
I think they kind of changed her powers because I thought she had to experience it as well in order to do it.
Yeah.
But you're right. She can just now seem to, like, look at them and get their power. So,
And Five has worked out that basically what we're dealing with here is the grandfather paradox, which is, you know, like kid grow. The way he explains it is a kid grows up. His grandfather's a piece of shit. So he goes back in time, murders his grandfather. But that means that he would his mother would never be born.
He killed his grandfather before his mother could be born.
Right. So if she was never born, then he couldn't have been born. So he couldn't have gone back in time to kill his grandfather. So it creates a paradox. And he says that's basically what's happening to them. If none of them were born, then they're not supposed to exist in this world. However, they exist in this world. So how can that be if they were never born? And so that seems to be his theory. I think that there's a lot more to it than that. But yeah, that's the theory that we're working with right now. Yeah, Luther and Sloan had the anti-gravity sex, and Luther's really excited about that. Yeah, that
was. Can you blame him?
So, like you said, the first time that the wave went out, it killed the little pug. Maybe something else. We just saw the pug die. The second time, it took out all those cows in the field. Like, every cow disappeared from that Amish neighborhood.
Yep.
The third time, it took out actual people. Like, Luther was in the city. And the guy at the newsstand and all the people that were like out on the boardwalk, just gone.
Yep.
So either it's getting more powerful or it has something to do with it interacting around people. Like, you know, Five was near the cows. Luther was near all these people. I don't know, because then you'd think that the hotel would just be absolutely vacant since the entire Umbrella Academy is there.
That's true.
Anywho, I'm just ranting.
Well, but I'm listening to your rant and I'm agreeing with it. And it's making it's making sense to me.
The one thing that I'm a little like I groaned and rolled my eyes at was Diego's kid. You know, just the whole, oh, I'm going to show up and dump this kid on your lap. And now he's trying to be a dad, but he also isn't any good at it because, you know, he's like, I've got stuff to do. I got to go kill the sparrows. And they're like, you got your ass handed to you. And he's like, no, we got to go back after them. And they're like, dude, just chill the fuck out. And meanwhile, he's got this son that he's not even trying to raise. It, I don't know. It doesn't feel very like it's not a storyline that I care that much about.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Yeah, that's I'm all. Not really into the – well, I'm not. It's not that I'm not into the Sun storyline. I'm just kind of like not into the fact that Diego is putting in not even the least amount of effort he could put in, just no effort whatsoever.
And then bragging about how good he is.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I got this. On what planet, my man?
Yeah, exactly. He's just putting in zero effort, period.
Yep.
Disappointments. They never cease to exist when it comes to parents sometimes.
But I'm very much looking forward to the next several episodes, especially now that I, you know, have fewer shows to watch.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Well, you want to finish up The Boys, stay on the superhero motif?
Let's do it.
So we have two episodes to talk about, I think, or just the one?
We do.
Just the one or two?
Two.
Two, okay.
Yeah, the final two episodes. This is one of those shows just the opposite of The Orville. Like, they'll be an hour and 2 minutes long. And by the end, I'm like, holy fuck, I was glued to the TV the whole time. So much happened. And yeah, I'm over the moon.
So this episode 7, we have Noir sitting at a shed or in a camp somewhere, and we keep getting cuts to him where there's all these animated characters that he's hallucinating and seeing.
Yep.
And it starts out with like them showing Noir getting embarrassed by and all of Soldier Boy and the whole team, they're all represented by animated characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like Noir's looking at a memory of when Soldier Boy embarrassed Noir in front of everybody and beat him up.
Yep. And, it's like the little cartoon animals are putting on a play, basically.
Okay, yes, they're putting on a play. And this is why you did what Edgar wanted and sold out Soldier Boy to the Russians. And then we cut to, like, we've seen the scene live action before where the heroes show up and they just mess everything up, and then cut to, like, all these heroes are half dead and Soldier Boy's been taken and they don't know what happened. And we never actually saw what happened. We just see that the superheroes either A, weren't so super, or whatever happened. And then now we see an animated version, them turning on Soldier Boy, Soldier Boy beating Noir half to death and fracturing his skull. And that's why Noir's all screwed up like he is, not because of an explosion or a bomb or something else that happened or a bad guy, because Soldier Boy did it to him when Noir was trying to subdue him. The rest of the gang, man,
fucking brain damage.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why we see these animations. The rest of the gang, you know, caught Soldier Boy and they sold him to the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
So in the present, I guess, but that was, so we keep getting those flashbacks throughout the episode and us showing, you know, the whole story of everything that happened and whatnot. In today's times, if you will. Oh, so then when Soldier Boy and Huey and the Butcher are going to go find Payback, or sorry, the member of the Payback Mindstorm, where he basically can put you in your own mind trap and you basically stay in this loop where you're in a coma until you starve to death and die or whatever. So he puts Butcher in one. And so Butcher's trapped seeing his past with his abusive father. So we get to see Butcher's abusive father, his younger brother. We get to see him leaving his brother and his dad. And basically his brother being like, Butcher, I can't hack it like you could. And Butcher's like, why should I have to stay around and continue to get the abuse, you know? And his brother ultimately shoots himself.
Yeah.
And this is why Butcher is so hooked on Huey, because Huey reminds him of his brother, and he still feels guilty about what happened with his brother, Lenny. His brother's name was Lenny. Huey's name is Huey. They rhyme. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Huey's helping Soldier Boy try to stop Mindstorm. And in the interim, right when Soldier Boy's about to kill Mindstorm, Huey takes him to where Butcher is and talks to him and gets him to take Butcher out of the mind loop he's in, if you will. And before Huey can help, well, he says he'll take Mindstorm and bring him anywhere he wants to go and get him away from Soldier Boy. And we don't know if he's going to do that or not, because before Huey can do what he said he was going to do, Soldier Boy shows up and kills Mindstorm.
Well, he throws a knife that goes through his eyeball, and then he puts the bag over his head and starts beating the shit out of him and gets some information out of him.
Right. But what I mean is, before Soldier Boy launches his attack, we don't actually know if Huey was going to do what he said and take Mindstorm and set him free, or if he was going to take him to Soldier Boy. But either way, like you said, you know, the big revelation in this is that Mindstorm tells Soldier Boy that, hey, yeah, they took you, but they kept some of your sperm, and you're Homelander's your son.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Annie gets Kimiko Compound V because she wants her powers back, because she needs them to do what she needs to do, and because she's real stove up without him, and she thought Compound V made her a monster, but she feels like she was always the monster the whole time.
Yeah. I don't know. She has the powers, and she thought that the powers controlled her, but she realizes she can control the powers and use them as a weapon. So
Annie gets her the Compound V, and she gets her powers back, right?
Painfully.
While she's there, she sees that, you know, they've discovered that with the V24, you 3 to 5 doses, it kills you.
Yeah, it lesions in the brain and basically causes your brain to melt out of your head.
And we're already seeing brain fluid, if you will, come out of their nose and ears, Butcher and Huey.
Yep.
So she tells Butcher this, and she says, tell Huey. You need to tell him. Of course, he doesn't tell him by the end of the episode. He just says, let's go get some more. Soldier Boy calls Homelander, lets him know that, hey, I'm your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Homelander confronts Annie, says that, you know, that he's going to take her. Don't worry, he's not going to rape her or anything, but he's going to harvest her eggs, and then they're going to make a child together in a test tube, you know, make a test tube baby and everything, and just all kinds of terrible stuff, and even confesses to murdering some people to Annie, because she kind of goads him into it. And little does he know that she was live streaming him the whole time on her Instagram.
Yeah.
So that's pretty outstanding. Oh, and A-Train is still alive because he got a heart transplant from Blue Hawk. So the racist guy that crippled his brother, and A-Train tried to kill and sacrifice himself to kill, he now has that guy's heart in his chest. But now he can run fast again and be A-Train again.
Because it's a super heart. You know, it's not just a heart from a normal person. It's a super heart. So, yeah. You notice I know we're still on this episode, but you notice he leaves that part out when he talks to his brother. He never really says, by the way, I can run again because I have a racist heart.
Yeah. Talk about, I'm wondering if we're going to get a, what was that show? The guy got a hand transplant? And then the hand.
I feel like we've had a few horror movies like that.
Someone gets eye transplant. They can see the eyes of the killer and
heart of a killer.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get something like that. Like now all of a sudden A-Train's going to be racist to black people.
I doubt it, but yeah.
But that would be absurd anyplace else. But in the Boys universe, that just seems normal, actually.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot happened in that episode. Although when that episode ended and we had, you know, Soldier Boy calling up Homelander and saying, yeah, you know, back in the day, I donated a bunch of my sperm to Vought, you know, because they wanted to do some experiments. And turns out that you're my kid. My first thought was, no, Soldier Boy is a self-absorbed cocksucker. Because he says, you know, he's like, the funny thing is, if I had known about it, I would have turned over the spotlight to you, because what dad wouldn't want that for their kid? And I'm like, bullshit. Soldier Boy was a self-absorbed cocksucker. There is no way that he would have turned that over to his son, his progeny, you know? So that's where I was at the end of this episode.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I don't think he would have turned it over either.
And he kind of gets into that a little bit when he talks to Butcher in the beginning of the next episode. Because, like you said, Butcher never tells Huey that the temporary V is going to kill him. So we're all like, oh, he's using Huey. But then the very first thing that he does is knock the kid out and leave him behind, because he's protecting him that way. He knows that if he tells Huey, Huey will be like, well, I still got to do it anyway.
Yep. Yeah, that's in episode 8 we get, you know, where Butcher, like you said, knocks him out in the bathroom because he doesn't want to get him in trouble anymore. Mm-hmm. He calls Annie to pick him up. He apologizes to her. My favorite is, like, I can see it running that super brain as you want to say, I told you so bad. I fucking told you so.
Yep.
So many times, you know, on and on and on. And
it was a good way, though, for him to talk about weakness versus strength, you know, where he was talking about how his mom died and his dad just sat there like going through the motions and making pizza rolls for them. And he's like, I thought he was so weak, but these were the worst days of his life. And he was doing everything he could to make sure that we had a roof over our heads, that we had food on the table. So he was strong and I was wrong about strength versus weakness. And so that was beautiful. But yeah, every one of your super neurons just is firing off. I told you so. Just say it.
Yeah,
that was great.
I think my favorite part, not my favorite part, but like also in this episode, it wasn't my favorite part, but Homelander goes to Ryan and basically talks his son into going with him, and he does.
And he found his son very quickly, but explained that it was because of the what's her name there, the head popper.
Yeah, Newman.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get so Ryan's in the episode. He's with his home. He's with his dad. So that's important to consider. Mm-hmm. Soldier Boy and Butcher are going forward to try to kill Homelander still, even though and Huey and Butcher know
Noir that, first.
Well, yes, but Huey and Butcher know that Soldier Boy knows that Homelander is his son. So that's yeah, they're going no to go secrets. Find Noir. Yeah.
No secrets on any of them, which is, you know, kudos to them. I would have expected it to be like a big secret thing.
Because Annie live streamed.
Homelander
and what he said. Now there's an investigation and someone there's a search warrant for Vaught Towers. So they have to move Maeve. And they gas her. And while they're transporting her, she wakes up and she kills everybody and she escapes. Mm-hmm. And she goes to Annie's place. And Butcher shows up there with Soldier Boy. Or they all go over to his place. It doesn't matter. But Soldier Boy, Butcher, and Maeve go off to kill Black Noir. And they lock Annie and Mother's Milk and Frenchie and Kimoko and now Huey in like the safe. That eventually she escapes. They all go down to the Vaught studio, and this is where we have a big fight, a big war at Vaught Studios.
Mm-hmm. Well, right before that, remember, Homelander asked Noir. He was like, hey, did you know that I had a kid out there? And Noir's like, yes. And he's like, why didn't you tell me? And he didn't have a good answer, so Homelander just killed him.
He disemboweled him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty harsh.
So he obviously has a limitation or two on his regeneration, because now we've seen that he can be brain damaged. He lost the ability to talk, probably from the 50 cal that gunpowder shot through his mouth.
That would do it, yeah.
And Homelander punching through him and ripping out internal organs. Apparently he can't regenerate from that.
Yeah, well, I mean, not fast enough, I guess.
So now we're at the point of the fight. Oh, don't forget, Kimiko basically told Frenchie that, you know, you're better than this. You need to get off the drugs.
Yeah.
Because he's having a little crisis. He's like, you know, it's like little Nina said, I always have a leash around my neck. It just depends on who's holding the other end. And she's like, no. Yeah. You're better than this.
And so we kind of stands up to Butcher a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have the big fight. You know, we have everyone going after Soldier Boy, except Soldier Boy grabs Ryan, and he's going to use Ryan as a way to escape. He hits Ryan.
Yeah, because Ryan didn't want to see Homelander go down, and Soldier Boy got blasted by his vision, and so he fucking cold-cocked the kid and knocked him clear across the room.
Yeah, and now we have the big fight with Butcher and Soldier Boy, and Annie's there, and Huey's like up in the studio trying to be safe, and...
Get everybody out. Remember, he made the announcement, and he's like, everybody get out of the building.
But Maeve is going after... Homelander, because she wants Homelander destroyed. So they're having a vicious fight. So there's just lots and lots of fights going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Deep is nowhere to be seen, because A-Train and the Deep with Ashley, before all this happened, Homelander went to them and was like, I killed Noir, by the way, because he was a traitor to me. He lied to me my whole life. And so
I don't need any of you, but you're all going to go do things for me.
Yeah, and like the Deep's. Hey, Wesley. Sorry about that. The Deep is tasked to go, as we find out at the end of the episode, go kill the vice president, the vice president candidate for Bobby Singer, who's running for president. I love that, by the way.
I have a huge problem with that.
Why? Continuity?
No. You know what my problem is? What? We had an entire season where we had Dean Winchester and Bobby in the same TV series, and we never got the two of them face to face with
I didn't even think of that.
Even if it was him looking at a picture of Soldier Boy and saying, "Ah, that idiot," we needed something, and I can't believe that we didn't get it. Even with the little sting at the end there. Oh,
I didn't even think of that. That would have been awesome.
I can't believe that they wait, especially the boys. Like everything that they did this season, I can't believe they wasted an opportunity like that.
So, what did you think of the fight scenes?
I thought that the fight scenes were phenomenal. Watching Homelander and Maeve, I laughed my ass off when like she fucking belted him in the back of the head. He just turns around. And he's like, "Maeve, not now." And she's like, "Yes, now." And she like slams into him. And he's like, "Look, I told you, not now." Like he's not even bothered by it. But she does some fucking damage to him. Like when she stabs him in the ear.
Oh, yeah. That caused some pain.
And that's got to be like a hint or something. You know, that has to be like a – he's got vulnerabilities here. You know, we talked about what's her name there being able to pop his head possibly. And he's like, "Go ahead and try. See if it works." But Maeve literally stabbed him in the ear and blood came out. So that's something huge. But I got very much Superman versus Wonder Woman vibes, you know, shot her in the chest. She brought up her little bracelet and it was phenomenal. I loved that Butcher stood up to Soldier Boy because of Ryan. And Soldier Boy even said, he's like, "So wait a minute, Homelander had sex with your old woman, made that kid, and you're going to take his side." And he's like, "Yeah, well, I made a promise to her." All right, well, your funeral.
I did think it was interesting how Soldier Boy and Homelander kind of looked at each other. I mean, Homelander and Butcher looked at each other and were just like kind of gave the nod of, "All right, we're going to go kill him for what he did to Ryan, and then we'll mess with each other after the fact."
Exactly. Yep. I like that Huey didn't use the Temp V, but instead he empowered Starlight. You know,
yes, I like that symbolism there as well.
Yeah, because he wasn't trying to save her anymore. He was supporting her, and he supported her in the best way that he could by jamming up the lights and boosting her powers to the point where she can fly.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, I think it was untapped. You know, it's one of those like she never realized she could, because you got to figure she's out in the sun all day. You know, she's absorbing the light. She didn't realize she could be that powerful.
What else we got going on this episode? So Soldier Boy, they've got him and they're trying to gas him. Mm-hmm. And he's basically like, "I'm not going back into whatever." And he starts to glow big time. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gets away from them all and he turns to face them all. And we're just thinking, oh, he's about to go nuclear and kill everybody. Maeve makes the decision to stop fighting Homelander after she spikes him in the ear. And goes and attacks Soldier Boy, and they go out a window.
Mm-hmm.
And Soldier Boy blows up, and he survives, but he's in a coma, apparently. And then the assumption is that Maeve is dead. Because
mm-hmm.
we do cut to a little bit later, you know, people remembering brave Queen Maeve and, you know, mm-hmm. her tribute videos and whatnot. I like when we see Ashley and she's forced to take her wig off to show that she's been so stressed. She's practically torn all her hair out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, too. So Frenchie got his hands on the nerve agent that's supposed to knock out Soldier Boy. And he put it in a bottle of Starlight's Wish perfume. But then Maeve throws it out the window because she's like, "No, Homelander needs to be killed. Your plan is shit." So they talk about how, well, Vought's got the chemicals that he would need to make up a new batch. So him and Kimiko go in there to make up the new batch. And she puts in her AirPods because, you know, some soldiers are coming, and plays Maniac from Footloose and starts
doing Flashdance.
Flashdance, sorry. Yep. And she starts doing the dance and then just rips the shit out of all of them. I was disappointed there were only three guys, but it was great watching her just go full-on Wolverine on them.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yep. Frenchie got shot, you know, could have been worse. It almost looked like they were going to make it a fatal thing, you know, because he's like, go, but he was fine.
Nice.
We find out that that, yeah, the reason that the Deep had to drown the Bishop was because I keep blanking on her name.
Newman.
Headpopper. Newman. Thank you. Because she is now being tapped as the vice presidential candidate.
We find that Maeve is actually alive. They faked her death. Ashley even has videotape of her being picked up and put in the van, and she deletes it.
How about
doing a good thing?
Yeah. How about Homelander gouging her eye out like that? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That was bad. That was real bad.
Yeah.
yeah, but we've so also seen that. Alive. Yeah, and she doesn't have her powers.
Right.
But we can also see that Maeve could just take Compound V again and get her powers back if she chose. But her and her lesbian lover there, her wife, girlfriend, they're going to go hide out on a farm somewhere.
Yep. And Annie is now part of the boys. She's thrown away her costume. Mm-hmm. She's no longer going to work for Vaught or anybody there. Homelander and Ryan kind of took off from the tower because Ryan, you know, Homelander and Butcher were going to fight. And then Ryan's like, Dad, I want to go. I want to leave.
Let's go now, Let's go. Dad. Yeah. Yeah.
MM sat down with his daughter and basically showed her the history of her family and said, you know, Soldier Boy killed many members of your family, including your grandfather. Not all heroes are good, but, you know, I want you to know the truth about your grandfather. He was a great man. And she's like, you're my hero, Dad. So, like, she's good with this. She's going to be okay with him.
And let's see here.
The Deep's ex-wife is now on the talk show.
Doing circuit. A tell-all because he tried to insert a octopus as a threesome.
Uh-huh.
But that was that was gross.
Yes, it was. So now she's, you know, saying that he's terrible and she's going to make millions doing her book
tour. Soldier Boy is in, I don't want to say he's in custody, but he's being held now by the CIA agent girl there. I can't think of her name.
Yeah.
Daisy or whatever.
Mallory, I think.
Mallory or something like that. So Soldier Boy is either, he's still alive, but he's now like being entombed again, I guess.
I'm wondering if they're going to figure out what makes him tick and try to weaponize that so that they can take out Homelander.
Yeah. Homelander shows up at a rally and someone throws something at him and it hits Ryan instead because Ryan flies in with him and he introduces everyone to Ryan and Homelander uses heat vision to blast his head off, which is something that we've seen him fantasize about a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So when we saw that, I thought he was fantasizing about it. And in reality, he did it and people loved it. So again, they're just.
And who was the first person that loved it and started cheering him on?
Trump supporter.
No, the stepdad. You know, yes. MM's daughter, the stepdad there, who's been a Homelander supporter all along. He's like, yeah.
So anyhow, it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely getting another season. And the Butcher only has like 12 to 18 months to live.
Yep.
Because of the compound, the V24 he took. So.
Yep. Yeah, I like when the doctor came in and tells him that, and he's like, "There's really nothing we can do." And he goes, "Oh, well, then I'll kindly ask you to go fuck off."
All right. Strange New Worlds.
Whew. Two episodes. We've got All Those Who Wander, which is, you know, the famous line, all those who wander are not lost.
Yep.
This was Alien, or Aliens, if you will.
Yeah, no, this was Alien. Yeah, they get a distress signal from the USS Peregrine. They go check it out. It's crashed on, like, a frozen world. They go down to see what's going on. They find, like, two people still alive. A human and then another alien that we don't know. And essentially the girl doesn't, but the guy does, you know, he has a hatchling from a Gorn egg burst out of him more than one. In fact, they start killing each other, you know, cause they're apparently the Gorn are vicious, but yeah. So you're right. It was Alien.
Yeah.
No doubt aliens. It was,
you know, as they were trying to figure it out, they found that like several of the crew members were out on the inhospitable frozen wasteland and that their suits had ruptured. And they're like, what could have done this? And they're trying to figure it out. And yeah, basically, like the more Strange New Worlds goes on, the cooler the fucking Gorn are. And I can't believe we didn't get more of them.
I know. Definitely season two.
Oh, we barely got any of them in classic Star Trek or the Next Generation. Like these aliens are fucking badass.
Yeah, no doubt they are. Very interesting, very different.
Basically, they spit on you, and that's how they reproduce, because their spit impregnates you. Mm-hmm. And we see that because we ended up losing Hema.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. So basically, he kind of convinces Uhura to stay on the ship because he's like, look, you should stay here. You don't let yourself get close to people. When you feel like you're getting close, you run away. You shouldn't run away anymore. And so he gives her that sage advice because right before he dies, if you will, he's, you know, because he's impregnated, he can feel it. So he like drops himself off the ship before he can, you know, rupture and kill everybody and cause more. They find that they don't like the cold, so they freeze the Gorn. It was a really cool episode. Just go watch it. It was really good. It was really sad at the end when Hemmer died. That, you know, they tow the USS Peregrine back to like a Starfleet. The security officer there takes a leave of absence in this episode to go take that last refugee girl home to find her family. So we don't see her in the last episode. The last episode, A Quality of Mercy. Holy cow, was that good.
Dude, it was not only good, I couldn't get over how well done it was, considering that this was a what-if episode, essentially. This was based on the original 1966 Balance of Terror. Like, Balance of Terror was the Enterprise chasing down that Romulan bird, you know, doing the whole thing, we're going to – it was a submarine battle, essentially. But, you know, following in their wake and basically shooting them down. The names were the same. The characters were the same. You know, obviously the actors were different, but this was basically a, what if it had been Pike instead of Kirk?
Yep. But we meet Kirk in this episode.
We do. He looked
good, also meet Scotty. We don't see, we don't see him. We just hear his voice.
I love how they made sure in this, well, I keep the subtitles on and they, in the subtitles, they said Scottish accent.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, of course they did.
But yeah, so that they did such a great job with this. So first we get like Pike is down at one of the outposts and one of the kids that wants to meet him says his name. And it's one of the cadets that dies with him when he unfortunately, you know, sees his own death, if you will, from the radiation or whatever. So he meets older Pike. So he's writing a letter to this kid basically to say, hey, this is what's going to happen. Avoid it. So all of a sudden we see like Admiral Pike with badass uniform on.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, so I'm alive and I shouldn't be. And we basically get like, every time you try to change things, you do, but something bad happens. And basically they put, like you said, they put Pike into this episode, the Balance of Power episode, where we meet the Romulans for the first time. And it's like, well, obviously, and he confides in Spock what happened. And Spock's like, well, obviously you're put here for a reason, because either there's something that didn't go the way it was supposed to and you're here to make sure it does, or you're here to find out that you're not supposed to be the person here when this goes wrong. Someone else is supposed to be, basically, like your presence is causing this to not go the way it's supposed to. And or your presence will cause this to go the way it's supposed to. You know, one of two things.
Right.
Put that. And that's how the episode plays out. And we meet Kirk, and he's the captain of a different ship, the Farragut.
Yeah.
And it's just so brilliantly done. And they battle the Romulans. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it.
You've got to watch it. Just to build on what you were saying, he is told by himself, you know, the admiral version of himself, that he's been through multiple versions trying to find a way out of this. And every time, it's not just that something goes wrong. Every time something bad happens to Spock, like in this case, he gets maimed and probably will be a vegetable the rest of his life. And basically, Anson Mount says, if there's ever to be hope for peace between the Romulans and the Federation, that man needs to be alive. And we know that. We've seen the future. We know that he is the first ambassador between Romulus and Vulcan. We know that Spock is pivotal in the peace talks with the Romulans later on down the road by the time Next Generation comes around. Basically, Pike says, you know, I have to do this. I have to. And when he pops back and Spock sees him, he can tell. He's like, you look different. Your demeanor is different. And he's like, yeah. And he basically says that he's resigned himself. He knows that his fate is sealed for the greater good, for someone else. And it kind of – I was reading something, and it's great. It kind of ties into – there was a classic episode called The Menagerie. And in it, Spock hijacked the Enterprise and took off because Admiral Pike had said, I need your help. And nobody knew who Admiral Pike was. And he just said, you know, oh, he was my old captain. And the fact that logical Spock was willing to drop everything, commit mutiny and steal the Enterprise to go and rescue this guy. They were like, what the hell did this guy do that Spock would do all this stuff? Well, this kind of bridged that gap.
Oh, okay,
this kind of shows that, you know, he basically said, Spock, you know, no matter what, I'm resigned to my fate because I know that I'm doing this for the greater good. Hmm. Oh, it was so good. It's one of those few times when a show, like I said, Obi-Wan did not do it well, in my opinion. They took an existing story that we all had to know was coming. And not only that, but they doubled down on it. Like if Obi-Wan had somehow taken the and put him at the end of the episode in Mos Eisley meeting up with, you know, Luke and Han and stuff like that. Like if they had brought us all around to that, it would have been different. In this case, they literally put us in that episode, The Balance of Terror, except they said, what if? It was wonderful. It was so fucking good. This whole episode was good. This whole season was great, but this episode was just a fucking masterpiece, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really loved it. The only episode I really didn't care for.
Spock amok.
No, actually, that didn't bother me. The only one I really didn't care for was the one, I can't think of the title, but it's the one where the doctor. And we get the resolution to the doctor and his daughter, and they're pretending reading the story, and it's, you know,
I thought you didn't like Spock Amok either, the one where him and his, you know, betrothed swapped bodies.
No, it was a groaner to me, mm-hmm. but I was fine with it. I really didn't care for that one. I
can't think of which one it was. It was terrible.
The Elysian Kingdom.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I really didn't care for that. Oh, the other big thing that happens in here, because Pike's in the future and he doesn't know about these things. He asks about Una.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, we can't talk to her where she is. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. But at the end of this episode, they come and arrest number one for being a genetically altered Alarian, which is against Starfleet's code.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was renewed for season two.
Thank God.
You know, before this first one even aired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited for that already. I legitimately and truly loved it.
It was phenomenal. It was so good.
So Stranger Things. Do we want to deep dive this or do we want to wait a week so people can watch it? Because I was
literally just going to ask you the same thing.
I know. I remember like when the episodes came out, it crashed Netflix
because
so many people were trying to watch it. But maybe we should just wait a week so we can deep dive it.
Because we're not going to have much to talk about after that anyway.
Right, right.
You know, next week we're not going to have The Boys or Strange New World or, you know, So let's hold off on that. I think that's a good idea.
Movies. Did you watch any movies?
I watched one movie. I was going to try to go this weekend and watch Thor Love and Thunder at the drive-in, but no drive-ins are showing it because they're still showing Minions and Jurassic World, which I assume that's because they probably paid for them and they're like, look, we're going to milk them as long as we can before we have to pay out money for something big like that.
Well, not only that, but they're popular enough that people are coming to see it still. So
absolutely.
I watched a few movies, a couple of the old ones. I forgot to mention a few weeks back, the wife and I watched Godfather 2. Maybe I did mention, I don't remember. Kate Addison and I watched Scream 4.
Okay.
So we're continuing our Scream watching. I love watching her watch these movies and her, like, you know, just the revelations of the things that are happening, you know, her working it out because she talks about the movies as we're watching it, you know, trying to figure out which direction it's going to go. And then, you know, she really gets enthralled in them and everything. And yeah, so I've really enjoyed watching her watch the movies, and especially in Scream 4 when it turns out it's her cousin. I actually got a picture of her, like, during the big reveal, and she's just like, what? You know, like, she just didn't expect it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm loving that. Kanan actually got us a Redbox that was a trailer that we had seen when we went and watched The Northman, and it was called The Cursed. Okay. And it's kind of a werewolf movie that takes place in France. And it was okay. I can't give it a hard sell. It was okay. You know, we watched the whole thing because, you know, you paid money to watch it, to rent it, even though it was only $2. But so we watched the whole thing, and it was all right. The trailer looked really, really good, and the movie just wasn't as good as the trailer looked.
Sounds like it's ironic that
I know, right?
You saw that trailer during The Northman, which turned out very similarly for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched Spiderhead on Netflix. Did I talk about that already? I can't remember.
I can't. I know that you said that it wasn't that great, but I can't remember if you told me that separately or during a recording.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
I still want to check it out.
Oh, do, but it wasn't that great. Okay. What's the movie you watched?
I rented it because Julie had been talking about it. She's like, oh, we want to check this out. She had really liked Willy's Wonderland, which you still haven't watched, and I still want you to, and port on that. But we went on Amazon and rented The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
I went to Redbox and got it for free with my birthday rental.
Nice.
And I watched it as well.
I didn't want to leave the house. So, you know, yes, I paid a little bit more, but we watched it. It was phenomenal.
I loved it. It was nothing I expected, while at the same time just being tremendous. I mean, honestly, it's a really, really good, fun movie.
It really is. And I think one of my favorite parts was Nikki.
Oh, yes.
And that's all I'm going to say was Nikki.
I will give this a hard sell.
Absolutely.
Rent this movie. Go watch this movie. It is hilarious. It's funny. It's surprising.
I won't even say if you like Nicolas Cage. I will say if you know Nicolas Cage, just go watch this.
Yes. It's a very good movie. Like, the trailer looks like Nick Cage being the most Nick Cage could be. Mm-hmm. And the movie is that. And dialed up.
So he actually plays Nicolas Cage. Everybody else in there plays fictitious people. You know, Pedro Pascal plays a fictitious person. Neil Patrick Harris plays a fictitious person, but Nick Cage plays fucking Nick Cage.
And he's playing, like, I don't want to say comedic, but he's playing like a comedic version of himself. You know, he's not playing like, this is how Nick Cage really is. I mean, in the movie, he has a fictional wife and fictional daughter, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's also something to consider.
And he's completely into himself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we really enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
That was a grand time.
Yep. I will say I loved it.
Me too. And yeah, if you know Nick Cage, you need to go watch it.
Absolutely. Ooh. So, trailers.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where we left off.
I don't know. I mean,
When did we last record? I mean, it was a while ago, but would have been like the 28th.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because I see on the 29th we had like See How They Run and
yes,
Who's the Boss sequel, and yeah, none of that was talked about last time. So
yeah, all right. So you sent me a trailer for See How They Run. This looks great. Murder mystery, mm-hmm. whodunit comedy. I'm 100% watching this.
No doubt.
Yep. Who's the Boss 2 is going to be on Freevee, I think is what they call it. It used to be IMB TV on mm-hmm. Amazon. Now it's called Freevee. And this is, no one asked for this.
No. No. In fact, I sent you the GIF of Van Wilder. But why?
But why? Yeah, exactly. You said Chucky season 2. I don't know who Lachlan Watson is, but is going to be playing Chucky's son, daughter.
Yeah. Glenda is finally going to be on the screen. Yeah. So we all speculated it. Here you go.
Apparently Mallrats 2 could end up on the Peacock network due to distribution rights of Mallrats that Paramount hold, NBC Universal holds.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk more about that when we get to the Clerks 3 part, I'm sure.
Shrug shoulders.
Yep.
Paper Girls.
So this was the teaser. They have an official trailer now. I didn't bother sending it because I feel like the teaser and the trailer are very close to each other. There's not a lot of big difference.
Yeah.
Based on a graphic novel.
It's going to be a TV series on Amazon.
Yep. Girls who are friends in like the 80s, and then something happens and they end up time traveling to present day. And now there's an agency out there that is going to kill them because needs to send them back to their own time or stop them somehow because they traveled through time and they're not supposed to. Yeah. I'll check it out. Looks interesting. It's got Ali Wong.
Yep.
It's another.
I might check out an episode, you know?
Yeah. It's yet another Amazon take on a graphic novel. So.
Yeah. Resurrection. You sent us that trailer.
Uh huh.
Tim Roth is in it.
It looks like a nice psychological thriller.
It looks like a Hitchcock movie where this woman's like sees this guy and she's like, "You need to leave us alone." And he's just like, "I don't have no idea who you are. Like, what are you talking about?" So that's kind of interesting. It looks interesting in that way.
But then he goes on later to say things like, "I'm the only one that sees you."
Yeah.
"You need me."
It's like basically to everybody else in the world, he's a different person. He's not who she claims him to be. And everyone mm-hmm. knows him or whatever it is. But secretly, when it's just the two of them, he's like, "Yes, it's me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm not who you know what I mean? So it's like, is she crazy? Is she not crazy? It looks very Hitchcockian.
Absolutely.
The Resort, that looks decent.
Dude, The Resort is one of those, like, the more the trailer went on, the more I wanted to watch it.
Yep. I can get behind that.
It starts off with Kristen Bellotti and Chidi, and they're basically at this resort. And they find out that, yes, I know, got a Ring camera recently, Ring doorbell. And so whenever somebody walked up to the front door, it alerts me. Julia's out there watering the plants right now. So yeah. So they're at this resort and they discover that like this kid went missing there years ago, and then they discover his phone. And so it looks like we're going to like see what happened to the kid and his family. And we're also going to see the investigation that these two are doing, but then it just keeps looking better and better. Like the trailer just kept looking better to me. So mm-hmm. I'm very excited for that.
Same feeling.
Yep.
Ticket to Paradise. George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Their ex-husband and wife who are going to this destination wedding of their daughter, and neither one of them want her marrying the guy that she's with. So they decide to, even though they hate each other's guts, team up and stop the wedding. So either it's going to be comical errors, they eventually fall back in love. I don't know.
It's going to be a rom-com. It looks fun. Yeah, it looks fun, but it's those two, you know, again. We got the teaser trailer for Hocus Pocus 2.
I mean, I'm going to watch that anyways. My wife is definitely going to watch that. I don't even need to really watch the trailer.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the Sanderson sisters all back together, you know, and it's years after the first one, so they'll do the story right. It's on Disney.
Yep, I think they will.
You sent me the story about the possibility of Andrew Garfield doing multiple MCU movies.
Yep, I'm behind that. Whether it's true or not, because I think you had said that Inside the Magic, you had said that they do a lot of clickbait and often lies.
Yeah. But so. I think that, you know, Sony put out that trailer of him, you know, Peter number 3.
Yes, which makes me think they're going to use him.
Yeah, I could absolutely see it, especially where the MCU is going for the multiverse thing.
Ghostbusters sequel, Wednesday, December 20th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
They just released the date, so I can get behind that.
Yep.
Kevin Smith is all in the news. We got the Mallrats news. We got the countdown every day to the Clerks trailer, which was finally released. And also, he's writing another movie that's going to take place in the 80s.
But allegedly won't be part of the Viewisk universe.
Allegedly, yes. Yep.
Yep.
So, you sent me the thing about the Stranger Things 4 Volume 2 release causes Netflix to crash. I thought that was hilarious.
Yep.
American Horror Stories. Didn't know that was coming back with a second season. It's where they do the anthology stories. I'm looking forward to that on July 21st.
Yep, I will check that out.
I love this meme I sent you. and Obi-Wan Kenobi. So it's a picture of Leia as Carrie Fisher as Leia and then the new little girl playing Leia. And it says, in Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan tells Leia, you're 10 years old, but you won't always be. This is a subtle foreshadowing for her appearance in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, in which she is above the age of 10. And then a red shirt and a stormtrooper get into a firefight. The stormtrooper misses every shot. The red shirt dies anyways.
Yep.
That's pretty outstanding.
Accurate.
And then we got the Clerks 3 trailer.
Now, you had sent me the article that went along with this about the convenience tour where Kevin Smith is going out on the road and he's going to answer questions and stuff.
Yeah, they're going to screen the movie at the State Theater in Portland on the Stop 2. Stop 1's in Red Bank, New Jersey. Stop 2 is in Portland. And after the movie screening, Q&A with Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So tickets start at like $150 and go down to $35 or something like that.
See, that's a weird way to say that, because most people would say tickets start at $35 and go up from there. You said tickets start at $150 and then go down.
Yeah, same diff.
Okay. Honestly, like, we've talked about this in years past. I've fallen out with Kevin Smith. Like, I loved him in the early days. You know, most of my coming out of high school and such, Clerks, Chasing Amy, Mallrats, Dogma, holy fucking Dogma. Like, he
was everything. Even Bob Strike Back.
Yes. He was everything. Like, I loved Kevin Smith. It's funny how as years go by, different people fall from grace like that. You know, Joss Whedon is experiencing that right now as well. But yeah, Kevin Smith just doesn't really do it for me anymore. Most of his, you know, Jersey Girl was a flop, but that was still during his peak period. So a lot of people were willing to forgive it because he was just trying to do a nice movie. Then you got Jay and Silent Bob reboot. You got the whole Tusk and Red State.
We still have Moose Jaws hasn't come out yet.
Yep. Clerks 2, I did actually like. I liked quite Clerks a bit. Too.
Thought it was good.
But yeah, watching this trailer, first off, a little heavy-handed talking about himself. You know, he
well, yeah.
Jeff O'Halloran has a heart attack and realizes that his life's been a waste. Yeah, sorry.
Ryan O'Halloran.
And Jeff...
Jeff Anderson is Randall.
Jeff Anderson, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Randall has a heart attack and has a midlife crisis. Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. And decides that instead of just watching movies, he should be making movies. And then there's all kinds of in jokes just in the trailer alone, you know, talking about him saying things like a sequel. What am I, a hack?
Right.
Probably the worst one for me was at the very end of it when they had talked earlier. They're like, you should let Jay and Silent Bob be in there. Oh, they're a staple of everything. And then you see them like sucking on that joint that's like 10 feet long. And Jay's like, I think it needs more weed in it.
Right.
And that right there is Kevin Smith's new philosophy on filmmaking is it needs more weed in it.
Well, the Jay and Silent Bob reboot was just completely like tons of nods and, you know, elbow, like, you know, hey, did you see that? Did you see that? You know, and yep. Inside jokes and references and this and that. And that's what this seems to be.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you 100%. Can't take Clerks away from me or the original View of School movies. But like, yeah, I mean, I'll watch this because I've watched all his other movies. But yes. I'm not excited about it.
I'm not either. Like, and I'm not against it. I'm not like, fuck him. I've never been like that with him. I just watching this trailer, I was like, man, it's not the same, you know. Yeah. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I don't think Kevin Smith would disagree with that. I think he would agree.
I think we forget about this a lot. He also did Zack and Mary Make a Porno, which was an excellent film.
Oh my god, that was
it
so
was
good.
An excellent story. And that's really the only thing he's done that doesn't involve the View Askew verse, if you will, that has been phenomenal.
I think honestly what happened with him was he was doing things so well and then he hit Cop Out. And I think Cop Out is what really, like, that was his villain story, if you will.
Yep.
Like, Cop Out was the dawning of him as a villain instead of the hero. And that's when everything started to change. That's when he first discovered and got hooked on weed. Like,
but that's also when he did a Hollywood movie, you know, a studio picture where he didn't write it at all, and he's directing someone else's work, and he has no control over it. And, you know, he just, as an artist, he was not able to succeed at that. And like you said, he kind of came out looking like the bad guy, and then he couldn't get any money to do anything, and he couldn't make the movies he wanted to make. So then he did Red State, that he's basically self-funded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Again, so, I'll watch it because I've seen the rest, but.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The trailer Amsterdam, I forgot to watch it.
Okay. Let me know what you think about it. It was good. It's one of those like star-studded, real events. It looks really good. Luck, did you watch that one?
I did.
Nice animated kids movie about luck, about good luck, bad luck, a woman who's very unlucky, a black cat who has a Scottish accent and is apparently a embodiment of luck. Mm-hmm. Thought you'd be excited about Law & Order doing a 3-show crossover for the fall launch.
Which doesn't really surprise me that they're doing that, quite frankly.
No, I like it, though. I'm glad they're doing it.
James Caan died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 82 years old. Sonny Corleone. Buddy the Elf's dad.
The Elf's dad.
Yeah. Everything in between. Phenomenal actor.
Indeed.
Very excited to see that Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio are both joining the Echo series.
I'm very happy about that. I read that, you know, that Cox's storyline is that he's looking for Jessica Jones.
Awesome.
As part of this. And, you know, we are getting another season of Daredevil, Charlie Cox's Daredevil on Disney Plus. So that's fun. I'm here for it.
Absolutely. Finally bring him properly into the MCU.
Exactly.
Instead of just his little No Way Home nod.
Which was still awesome. Like, hey, he's in there.
I'm a very good lawyer.
Honk for Jesus, save your soul.
Pass.
yeah, you sent that to me. And I was like, oh, thanks for that.
Yeah, it sounded like a good concept. And hey, it's Sterling K. Brown. I was like, all right.
Right,
and then exactly, I watched it and I'm like, no, like, it's a mockumentary about evangelicals. Pass.
Yep. I don't need to see that.
I think that's about it.
That's everything for me.
Yep, that's everything for me as well.
Cool. All right, well, we will see this week if I watch or able to get anything watched, and we'll know what we're doing from there.
Yeah, so you may hear from us a week from now, or it may be 2 weeks. Either way, we will definitely be covering the finale of Ms. Marvel, Stranger Things,
probably the first episode or two episodes of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes. Yep.
That comes back in 2 days.
Most likely the Orville and more of the Umbrella Academy, because, I mean, come on. They left us with Harlan.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Can't wait to watch that. So.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show. Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week, maybe, or the week after, possibly.
Definitely.